Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Stay on Target.
We are your hosts,
Chris and John. We're talking about Frozen. We're actually reviewing Frozen this week.
That movie was cool.
Yeah, so, well, we can't review it now.
I'm sorry. I was trying to jump the gun. It was a Frozen pun, man.
Welcome to our second episode of 2014.
This is the second episode.
Yep. I almost said the first, but I realized we've already done one this year.
there was a Welcome to 2014 episode. I don't know how you missed it.
I know. So, like, anyway, we were talking about Frozen. It's basically it's done well in the box office, and
yes.
So we thought it warranted a review.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been out for a while, but we're gonna do it anyway.
So, in your face.
But first, the news.
The news.
Okay, we have quite a bit of news.
There's a ton.
Yes, a ton.
They just back the truck up, you know, beep, 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 yep. And they're going to dump it on us.
So we might run through it pretty quickly here.
Oh, okay.
So let's just dive right in.
Just small opinions.
Assassin's Creed Liberation HD releases for PS3 and 360.
Yep. So this was something that was a handheld, right?
Yep. It was only on Vita, PlayStation
right.
Vita, and I played it, finished it, great game.
Yeah.
If you have the chance and you're at all interested in Assassin's Creed and want a good campaign, pick it up.
So here's a question for you. Yes. Finished Liberation, but did you finish Assassin's Creed 3?
No.
Yeah, I was about to say. So Liberation was better than the main game?
In my opinion, yes. Like, and the difference was it was on a handheld, so like, it's not as big and involved. Like,
gotcha.
The story's a lot shorter.
Well, also, didn't it take you a long time to actually get into the story?
Yeah, Assassin's Creed 3, man. Like, I played it for like 3.5 hours, and I was still not to the main character.
Yeah, you
like,
still hadn't met the protagonist.
It was long. And so, anyway, like, Liberation is not like that. It's set in New Orleans. You're we're not a former slave. You're a black woman in New Orleans, and it's a very fun game.
That's cool.
You should pick it up.
That's cool.
There is new DLC for Killzone Shadowfall.
Yep.
For PlayStation 4, and it's free. It's two new multiplayer maps. Looks pretty cool. If you have Killzone, pick that up.
I do not have Killzone.
I do.
Nice.
So I will pick that up. You don't. Also, Call of Duty coming out with a new DLC map pack on Xbox One and 360 first,
right?
On January 28th.
And it's called Onslaught.
Onslaught.
Yeah, okay. So here's the interesting thing that some article I read pointed out that I didn't know beforehand or notice or probably care to notice, but their DLC packs, they released all the names at once, and it's Onslaught, Devastation, Invasion, and Nemesis, which if you take the first letter of each one of those,
yep.
It spells Odin.
Yep, which plays a big part in the campaign of
it
Ghosts.
It sure does.
I don't know how this is going to play here. It's going to include a new Extinction map, as well as four multiplayer maps.
Yep, so they're definitely pulling the whole zombies like a like an additional kind of, you know,
yeah, which I really haven't really gotten into Extinction very much.
Me neither. I leveled up my guy a little bit. Yeah, just not interested.
It's not as fun. But the really interesting part about this DLC is there is a map, I think, called Fog. And
yep.
If you fulfill the orders, what are they called? The field orders.
Yes, that's the one.
You become
Michael Myers.
Michael Myers, and the Halloween music plays.
And you get to run around with an axe and slash people up.
Yep, that's pretty awesome.
That's pretty crazy, man.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that on these DLC maps, like, I feel like whenever it first came out, they're like, they're dynamic map events and things, but they didn't really ever tell you what these dynamic map events
were.
Or how they worked. And so now that, you know, we kind of know how, and they were like totally honest with it and said, hey, well, you have to fill, you know, do these things. And each
right.
map, I think, has a specific one having to do with it too. So,
right.
Which is a pretty cool thing, so.
Yeah,
but definitely
yeah.
Michael Myers, Halloween, run around, slash people, awesome.
Yeah, you can't go wrong there. Diablo 3 is coming out. Actually, we knew it was coming out for PlayStation 4,
right?
But we hadn't heard anything about the Xbox One version. It's apparently been outed. We saw it on, I think, Amazon, somewhere over in Europe. But we saw it on the website, and apparently it's not us. We didn't break the story, but people. In general, the human race saw it. Yes.
Someone found out.
Yes. Someone found out, and now we all know.
That's how the internet works. Come on.
It's going to be coming to Xbox One. So that'll be cool if you're a fan of Blizzard or the Diablo franchise.
Right on.
Also, Wolf Among Us, the second episode, is coming out the first week in February.
Super cool.
Yep. So, super cool. Like,
now, that developer's coming out with a lot of games this year.
Yes. I don't know that we talked about this after the news. Maybe we did. I don't remember, though. But, like, you know, they're coming out with... they're doing Walking Dead Season 2 right now.
Right.
They're doing Wolf Among Us Season 1.
They're doing a Borderlands one, right?
They're doing Tales... They're in development is Tales from the Borderlands.
It's going to be crazy.
And another game based on Game of Thrones.
That's a lot. Yes. I mean, that's more than like the major publishers will come out with, like in or major like developers and stuff will do. Well, like,
the thing that helps them is they do these in seasons. You know, it's kind of like a season of television series. And so what it feels like right now is they have two shows, quote unquote,
that's
going
cool.
on. You know, Wolf Among Us and Walking Dead. And so like once these both end, then this fall we'll get Tales from the Borderlands, and it may not be this fall. It could end up being next spring. Like, there was a huge gap between Walking Dead Season 1 and the Wolf Among Us.
Right.
They're doing two right now. They grew their team, expanded, and now they're doing two at the same time. Maybe it will be this fall. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
If we get Game of Thrones and Tales from the Borderlands, but we'll see. And but the interesting thing is they said, you know, there won't be this long of a gap between episodes again. And that's interesting because like there was a pretty long gap between each episode.
Of season one of Walking Dead.
But now it feels like they're trying to push these out like every month. Like every month has an episode.
I like that. That's a really good idea.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I'm really a big fan of Telltale. I like all their stuff. So I'm really excited about that.
For sure.
Robert Kirkman is coming out with a new comic. It's going to be called Outcast. It's about someone who's demon possessed. I don't really know much more than that.
Do you need to know much more than that?
Besides Robert Kirkman,
demon possessed.
Yeah, exactly. So that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
End of story. In more comics news, Aquaman and the Others is a new comic that's going to come out from DC Comics.
Yep.
And it's going to basically, I think it's the second book based in the Aquaman universe.
Yes, it's going to follow the Others, which were introduced in Aquaman's run, the Geoff Johns run of Aquaman. And basically, I think the synopsis or whatever is supposed to be that, you know, someone's hunting them down for their artifacts and for the abilities that their artifacts, Atlantean artifacts, give them, which, you know... It's similar to something that happened during the Geoff Johns Aquaman run. But something that's interesting to me is like during Geoff Johns Aquaman run. By the way, spoilers for this if you haven't read Geoff Johns Aquaman run, which you should because it's great. Like a couple of the characters die in it, and so it's like it's a shame that they killed off a couple of these characters before they came out with this new awesome comic for, you know, that features them all, because there were some really cool characters that they kind of killed off. So we'll see how that goes. And again, this is a kind of a demonstration of the fact that they're still backing Aquaman, even though, you know, honestly, I'm not exactly sure where it's going to go after Geoff Johns left. It's kind of one of those things where I'm just kind of like biding my time maybe with that comic. But so we'll see how that goes.
We have a lot of Marvel news. They have been releasing a lot of news over the past few days.
When don't we have a lot of Marvel news? Marvel is just like on top of stuff right now.
So like the big news is Michael Douglas is playing Hank Pym in Marvel's Ant-Man.
Cool.
The interesting thing is that Hank Pym is not necessarily going to be Ant-Man because...
That's weird.
Because Paul Rudd was cast as Ant-Man. He is playing...
How does that work?
Well, he's playing Scott Lang, who basically stole the suit from Pym in the comics.
Crazy.
So, like, it's and maybe they won't play it up like that. Maybe,
so are
like,
they going to be
Douglas
buddies?
Michael Douglas is old, so maybe they will. You know, he passes it down to Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd steals it from an old man.
I guess that's entirely possible.
Just
as well,
kicks his walker out from under him, and you know.
So we'll see. It's just interesting. It's an interesting twist. We also have they cast Baron Von Strucker for the Avengers. He was a Captain America foe, a part of Hydra, and so he's going to be in Avengers: Age of Ultron. There was an interview with
Is it odd that I'm more excited about the Ant-Man movie than I am about Avengers 2?
Yes, because everyone else liked Avengers and you didn't.
No, I like Avengers a lot. It's a great film, but it's like, for some reason, I'm more excited about the movie strange,
I am excited about Ant-Man. I'm more excited about
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. It looks great.
See, I'm excited for all those kind of movies that are just something completely
different. It's
different.
Yeah, that's why. And that's why I like about like expanding this universe into something new. It's like, what are they going to do now?
We have no idea where Guardians of the Galaxy or Ant-Man are going to fit in. Yeah,
it's exciting.
So, anyway, so that's the only reason why I'm more excited about that.
But Scarlett Johansson saying that while Avengers Age of Ultron will still maintain its comedy and its fun side,
yeah,
it will also go to a very dark place.
I wonder if this is kind of more, because obviously Iron Man 3 aired more on the dark tone than Iron Man 2 or 1, and that was vastly due to the events that happened in the Avengers 1.
Right.
Maybe this is just the kind of the natural progression for them.
Right, and which I'm okay with. And so did Thor. You know, Thor 2 was a lot darker than before.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think it looks like Captain America will deal with some more real world problems, and it will be set in current day. Like,
right.
You know, spying and surveillance and stuff like that. And so, like,
right.
I like this kind of move toward dealing with tougher material.
Right.
And, you know, that's kind of natural. As movies progress,
for sure. I would love to see more. And obviously, there's all these Netflix shows and the movie with that coming out. So I would like to see the Avengers, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
right.
Actually become a bigger part of this universe and get some of these heroes on it. So
the Blu-ray/DVD release of Thor 2 is going to have a one shot with it. They've been doing that. They've done that. I guess since, was it the Avengers did they start that with?
I don't remember.
Anyway, and so it's going to be about the Mandarin from Iron Man 3.
Cool. And for people who don't know what a one-shot is...
One-shot, well, it's like in comics terms, one-shot is like a one-off issue.
Right.
And that's basically what this is. It's a 15-minute short, basically, about a specific topic. So the Avengers, you know, like if you have the Avengers Blu-ray, they had one that was telling the story of what happened to all this alien technology after the Battle of New York and how S.H.I.E.L.D. cleaned it up. And so, like, this is another one shot, and it's going to be focusing just on the Mandarin for about 15, 20 minutes.
Cool, cool.
Last piece of news is that the Oscars is going to celebrate Heroes at their 86th Academy Awards. And not just Heroes in general, it's going to include superheroes, so Batman and Superman. There's not only are they going to do it in the awards, but there's going to be an exhibit featuring paraphernalia from a lot of films, and like they're going to celebrate everything from Gandhi to Batman, you know, like, and it looks really cool. Like, I can't wait to watch it.
And actually, relating to Heroes, there's a couple of books coming out from Brian Meltzer and Chris Eliopoulos, and that's I Am Abraham Lincoln and I Am Amelia Earhart.
Nice. These are kids' books,
correct? Yes, they're children's books. They're their first kind of children's books, or at least Brad's first children's book. It's Ordinary People Can Change the World, and they're going to come out with one around every 6 months or so. I Am Rosa Parks is slated for sometime in the summer, and then I think I Am Albert Einstein is coming out sometime a little bit after that as well.
That's awesome.
Have to get our hands on some and talk about them maybe on the podcast or something.
Yeah, yeah. That was fast and short, but that's the news. All right, so the main event tonight is We Are Top Tonight. You could be listening to this during the day. If so, I apologize that I just said
you're probably listening to this over breakfast. It's probably morning where you are. You're probably, you know, slurping some cereal.
Guten Tag.
Guten Tag. I love it.
For all you Germans out there.
Okay, so, but anyway, regardless of what time of day it is, we're still
talking about Frozen.
We're reviewing Frozen. This is our Frozen review. So we'll do it as true to our form. We'll start off with kind of a spoiler-free kind of review, and then we'll dip into the spoiler pot a little bit later on and start pulling those guys out.
That good old spoiler pot.
Like chocolate chip cookies, you know? And so that way, you know, you can get all a sugar rush based on our spoilers.
Yep.
All right, so non-spoiler, let's just kind of talk about this. Chris, you haven't seen the film, right?
I've not seen it, but you have.
But I have.
So let's preface this.
And you've read a lot about it, though.
Yeah, I have read a lot about it. The reason that we wanted to review this, we didn't review it whenever it came out. We had talked about it, but we decided not to.
It came out Thanksgiving, and so like it was kind of one of those things where it was part of our... It was supposed to be slated for our month of movies, our November movie month.
Yep.
But rather than do it during that month on Thanksgiving and take time away from family and that sort of thing, I was even traveling, that sort of thing. So it just kind of didn't work out.
Right.
So we ended up just kind of, you know, not doing it. And so here we are, you know, however long ago, and I just saw it recently, and it's everybody's basically just now seeing this thing.
Yeah, everyone's seen it, but everyone's talking about it. And
right.
The reason that I wanted to cover it this week was because you'd seen it and enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I had done some research about it, and it's done really, really well. It's basically like adjusted for inflation. It has, is the biggest Disney hit since The Lion King, which was like 20 years ago.
Right.
And so it's interesting, like, you know, just to see why, like, let's talk about why and kind of, you know, analyze that aspect of it. It was nominated for Golden Globe, probably will be nominated for Academy Award.
I mean, it won, didn't win a People's Choice for Best Animated Film?
Yes, it did. And so like,
I think there were only three nominees, but it was definitely the best of those three.
Yeah. And so we can talk about that, but let's review it first and then we can talk about that.
Okay. For sure. Okay. So into the review section here. Basically, again, non-spoilers here. We're not going to spoil anything. This is a movie that is about a couple of like princesses. And so essentially right off the bat, like I have to say that Disney knows how to do little children. They're just hilarious and really
cute. Specifically little girls.
Yeah, in particular. I mean, we've seen them numerous times. I mean, Tangled, that sort of... I mean,
right.
Dealt with this for a lot.
We can kind of mention this first, too. Like, you know, one of the main reasons that this is such a success is because they hit that market over and over again. And so little girls
right.
know that they can go see Disney movies. You have things like Tangled, Brave, this movie. And
they appeal
know that,
very much to little girls and,
yes.
and to, you know, people who love Disney and love, you know, the princess side of things, all of that as well. And again, you know, it just kind of starts off from beginning to end. This movie was it was a really hopeful kind of it was uplifting film, I would have to say. It's
yeah.
Obviously it's a Disney movie. It's not really going to be that much of a downer. But more so than anything, I guess there are elements of this that just kind of hit all the right moments where you're definitely empowered by the end whenever you leave.
So the plot of the movie.
Plot of the movie. I mean, it's kind of, it was a very intricate plot, but the plot of the movie is one of the girls was born with powers to freeze things. And so at the very beginning of the movie, there's a snowball fight inside the house that ensues and that sort of thing. And
that's awesome.
They make make a little snowman. Basically what happens is without getting too far into this thing, it's like the plot is very simple.
Well, just like is it good? Like is you know, like is it well written?
The plot is very well written. It was easy to understand, and you connect immediately with everybody in it. The only thing that wasn't as clearly defined to me from the beginning was antagonists. But a lot of times, this movie was less about an actual like evil witch and villain type situation, as it was more about internal struggles. And it did a really good job of externalizing internal struggles.
That's cool.
Of making them tangible, of making them about action.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it very much played on those terms. As far as voice acting goes, it was incredible, incredible cast. Kristen Bell and Idina Menzel. They just did an incredible job. And there was a lot of music. I didn't necessarily expect
this
have
is a musical.
A musical. Yeah, I didn't necessarily expect it to be that, but it very much was. The marketing, a lot of the marketing didn't have anything like that would hint at them
right.
singing in it.
Which is interesting. Like, this is another reason why like it possibly succeeded, because it lured in a lot of boys with the marketing. It didn't focus on the girl princesses.
Yeah.
It didn't focus on the singing. It focused on the snowman and the funny antics.
Yeah.
Which actually, like, we one of our friends said, you know, like, okay, so they went to the movie and actually with their little boy, and he, like, halfway through, like 30 minutes in, he was like, you know, still like, where's the snowman? Like, I don't know. And so, like, I feel like they fooled a lot of people there with the marketing.
Yeah, and that was something I had a question about whenever I was sitting there. I literally think I thought the same thing, where it was like, man, you know, we're quite a ways into this thing, and one of the main characters that is in the movie, he, you know, wasn't in it yet. And so honestly, like, but whenever he shows up, you for sure, he's like your most loved character for sure. And definitely
kind of Olaf.
Yes, it's Olaf, the snowman.
Nice.
And so basically whenever he shows up, everything is, I mean, he's hilarious. He's he very much puts his finger right on the mark as far as like that type of humor. I laughed, you know, a ton. He sings a song and it makes it for me. There was a moment there where it was just kind of sold me on his character. Whereas even the marketing, I wasn't necessarily sold on Olaf or the snowman in the marketing.
Yeah.
I think it was kind of one of those things that I thought might have come off as like goofy or something like that in the mm-hmm. movie, or too out there. But whenever he comes in, it wasn't any of that. All of my, my concerns or any fear I had was totally just kind of pushed aside. And it was like, this is the perfect character for this moment in the movie.
Animation
was incredible, dude. The way they did ice, which I guess this movie's called Frozen. So if you did the ice poorly, you know, it's like the Twister in Twister, you know, they had to do that decently for the time, Chris.
Okay.
For the time period that it came out. But yeah, if you did ice poorly or snow poorly in this film, man, it would have been a drag. But for sure, they did that. They pulled that off incredibly. It was some of the best looking kind of ice and glass type situations that I've seen. A lot of times my comment on any type of CG or gaming is that they don't get glass very well. They don't understand the concept of like the just can't handle it somehow. A lot of engines can't handle it. But this one, I mean, the way they did this, it was just perfect. It really shone. And a lot of the lighting, some of the more musical style, like kind of Broadway musical style elements of this film mm-hmm. came across in some of the ice that they had going on, cool. especially during one tune. So
would you, is this a must-see?
This is a must-see for any animation lovers, like for anybody who loves...
like Disney, like, Pixar films,
man, and
DreamWorks.
Not even... Yeah, if you like any of those types of films, you will absolutely fall in love with this film. This is one that's like, as soon as this comes out on Blu-ray, I'm picking it up.
Yeah.
And more so than... Because I've seen, you know, Tangled, I've seen a bunch of those. It's more so than those. It knocks it out of the park on every single aspect of the film. So more so than Brave, more so... I mean, I don't know. It's like...
Like in regards to all these other movies you're mentioning, like where does it fall? You know, like, I mean, is it your favorite movie in the past? How long?
It's my favorite animated movie since probably Toy Story 3. Nice. I mean, it's way up there. Like as far as that goes, everything about this movie was
done.
It had
the best opening
really
since Toy Story 3, like opening weekend.
Yeah, definitely.
And like it was, it beat that out pretty quickly.
Yeah, part of me feels like with Pixar and with the way Pixar is going with their films, it's been a little bit. I feel like it's just been a little bit lower for me. Like it's just been kind of like.
Right. Well, this isn't
like
this
lull.
Isn't Pixar. This
right.
is
but I'm just
Disney
thinking.
Animation.
I'm just thinking like in comparison to like the other animated films,
right.
like Brave in
right.
particular, because it kind of deals with a similar. It's very similar. Mm-hmm. But as far as this one goes, Tangled was really good as well, but it didn't hit the mark for me with a lot of the music.
Yeah.
Whereas this one definitely hit the mark with all of the music.
That's so awesome. That's awesome.
As far as the themes that this one deals with, it deals with a lot of like family themes, you know, relationships of mothers and fathers to their children, as well as sister, like sibling relationships. Mm-hmm. In addition to companionship, true friendship, and true love, obviously, because you can't have a Disney movie without true love.
Right. It also deals with being yourself, correct?
It sure does. It sure does. And it deals with accepting things about yourself and not being scared of yourself or of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right. Well, the spoiler clock is...
It's about to expire.
Yep. And so if you have not seen Frozen and you don't want to be spoiled...
Right.
You should turn it off.
You should definitely turn this off.
Yep.
If you don't want to be spoiled, if you don't want to be melted or anything like that, yeah. you should turn it off. In three.
The sun's coming out.
Oh man, it's shining right
two,
now.
Two,
one.
All right, John, spoil us.
She doesn't die in the end.
That's a spoiler?
That's a pretty big spoiler.
How is that a spoiler?
I don't know. It's like...
Do any Disney movies let the main character die at the end?
That's true. It's not a very terrible spoiler. It's a bad spoiler. Okay, I didn't spoil us very well. So here's another spoiler.
All right, another spoiler.
She doesn't get saved by her true love. She gets saved by her sister.
Ooh.
Or actually, she saves... There's a really cool twist at the end.
Okay, so let's talk about this. And what's your favorite part of this movie?
Oh, man, the favorite part of the movie was Olaf's song, where he's singing about summer. Nice. He's a snowman, and he really wants summer. He doesn't know that he'll melt.
Mm.
And at the end of it, one of the guys, he says, we really got to tell him. We got to tell him. And she's like, no, don't tell him.
That's awesome.
It was great, man.
Does he ever see summer?
Yes, sort of. In the end, he kind of does. So
does he melt?
He does not melt. But there is a really good moment where he's sitting by a fire where Anna is basically freezing to death. And so he builds a fire and puts her next to it and starts melting. She goes, Olaf, you're melting. And he says, some people are worth melting for. So, you know, it melted all of the hearts in the theater as well. So,
oh my gosh.
A lot of puns going on here. Oh man. Anyway, that was probably like, he was probably the character that, again, like you said before, like boys will definitely connect to, but, he was kind of like not the only comic, elements, but he was probably the most, blatantly funny character, which I guess if you have an animated snowman, he's got to be pretty funny. So,
right.
You know, running around with humans. He was an interesting thing too, because I loved the fact that they built him as a little kid. The two girls did whenever they were, you know, together. They built him as a little kid, as little kids. And then, you know, they said, this is Olaf. They were basically making him talk. And she says, this is Olaf, or my name's Olaf, and I like warm hugs. And so, like, then later on, whenever she makes him with magic and leaves him in the woods somewhere, her sister comes up on her trying to find her sister again. And he comes up and he says, I'm Olaf. I like warm hugs, you know? Yes. So he was an interesting character. Everything basically wrapped back around in this film. There were no like loose hanging ends, and there was always something that, always something emotional to kind of connect to with every scene. So
what's this big twist you keep talking about?
Okay. So the big twist. Okay. So the whole film, Anna's trying to find her true love. She thinks it's one dude and he totally like backstabs her.
Mm.
Okay. And so he's not her true love. But she thought he was, right up until he said, I'd never loved you. And, you know, boy, I wish somebody loved you to save your life.
What a jerk.
And I know. What a terrible person. That was the biggest, like, surprise for me. Because, like, they didn't set that up much at all. Like, I questioned it because everybody else questioned it around her, where they're like, you just met this guy yesterday. How do you know that you love him? And so I was thinking the same thing. But then, you know, it just completely blindsided me whenever he, you know, went evil on us.
Yeah.
And so she needed to be saved because her heart was freezing.
Mm-hmm.
And so she needed to be saved by an act of true love. And so they were like, true love's kiss. That'll do it. So she tried to go after the guy that she actually loves and that actually loves her. And in the middle of that, someone was going, the dude who was the bad guy, who was supposedly her true love, but totally backstabbed her, was going to kill her sister.
Oh, man.
In order to bring Summer back.
Oh, man.
And rather than running and saving herself, she gave up her life to save her sister and froze, and the dude, you know, saved her sister's life essentially, and that was the act of true love that unfroze
her. So one of them
her.
Does die.
Well, one of them was going to die, but she froze, and
I
then
see.
He, you know, broke the sword and that sort of thing.
So
it was her act of true love to save her sister that actually saved her life, not a true love's kiss or anything like that. It was something where I loved the element of it where she gave up the one thing that she really wanted, which was freedom and her life, mm-hmm. and a love, mm-hmm. someone's true love. She gave up all of that for something that she had all along, mm-hmm. which was her sister,
mm-hmm.
but she didn't know she had, mm-hmm. you know, because her sister was locked away because she didn't want to freeze anyone to death.
Mm-hmm.
So it was it's a really cool twist there at the end that I really appreciated and thought that was a really strong moment, stronger moment than a lot of Disney films or even children's films just kind of, you know, they don't usually deal with that type of a twist or a duality,
right,
where there's one thing going on, but really it's this other thing. So,
right.
For sure.
What about the themes of, like, you know, just being okay with yourself, and like, how does that play in?
It definitely plays in with Ilsa, the character with the powers, for her whole life. Like, it was interesting that all of the villagers, everyone was all scared of these powers. Even her parents were scared of them, because early on, whenever they were kids, she was playing and she froze her sisters, like hit her in the head with a magical freezing ray thingy. And so then they had to take her to the, you know, rock trolls or the rock gnomes, mm-hmm, or whatever they were, and have them heal her. And so she was trying to hide away, like she was trying to put on gloves and hide away that she had these powers because they were dangerous.
Yeah.
Cause she didn't want to even talk to her sister. She didn't see her sister for, you know, years or whatever, just, mm-hmm, because she didn't want to hurt her.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, whenever it finally comes out, her sister, you know, says, "Hey, I'm marrying this guy I met yesterday or met today." And she says, "No," and they get angry at each other, and she ices something in front, yeah, of everyone.
Yeah.
And so she runs into the mountains and, you know, is okay with herself up there, but she never really learns to control it, mm-hmm, until late, like the, you know, the climax of the film.
Nice.
And so basically, to me, it's like it was saying, you know, the prophecy said, "Hey, fear is your enemy. Don't be afraid." And so she was thinking in terms of outwardly, where other people are afraid of me,
right?
And so I, you know, that's bad, because they're gonna come and, you know, come in and kill me, or gonna, yeah, come in and send me away, banish me, that sort of thing. And so it really was, you know, you shouldn't be scared of yourself. You shouldn't be scared of what you can do. You should be confident and, you know, all of these things, and be more okay with yourself. So,
that's awesome.
Whenever she finds out about that in the end, it unfreezes, it sends away the winter and brings back the summer. So
that's awesome. So, like, as far as, you know, like, animated movie, this is definitely the best one of the year.
This is the best one of the year, for sure.
Should win best animated picture.
It should at the Oscars. If it doesn't, I will be surprised and upset and angered. I'll send an angry tweet at the Oscars, Oscar people. I don't even know who I would tweet on that.
Gotta there you
find
go.
Out.
Yeah. So, rating wise, what would you give this?
As far as a rating, a number goes, I would give this probably a... Man, it's in between 8.5 and a 9. I'm going to have to go ahead and solid up that a 9.
Cool. All right. So that's our review of Frozen. If you want to go check it out, it's in theaters now. Probably about to go away.
It's probably about to go away. I mean, I would think it's a like maybe one more week.
So if you want to see it fast.
Yeah.
See
or
it now.
If you don't end up seeing it, make sure you pick it up on Blu-ray the day it comes out.
Yep. You can find us online at stayontargetpodcast.com. We also have a podcast about Arrow, the TV show on the CW.
Yep. It's back this week from its break.
Yep. It posts every Thursday morning, and this podcast posts every Friday. You can find John on Twitter
at JohnWright777
and me at ChrisWright250. Stay on Target at Stay on Target Pod. That's it for this week.
We'll see you next time on Stay on Target.